So I did like a mini haul. Well, my mom got me a bunch of clothes. She likes to buy me clothes.
So you're showing me your new outfit that you got recently.
Yeah, like literally got here yesterday.
Wait, I'm loving love. Oh my God. This is a moment. Wait, okay, give us the deets. Give us the outfit deets. Where are the pants from? Where's the shirt from?
The pants are Cotton On, which I actually love that brand. I like haven't gotten stuff from there in forever, but like great brand. So they're like mid / low rise, somewhat baggy.
They're amazing.
I love this cut is just like the best. Like this is what I've been missing in my wardrobe is like baggy, but like still cute.
Yes. Wait, they're perfect. They're like the perfect. Also sit- like getting a little bit of like the oversized moment.
Yes. And then this shirt, so it's all from like ASOS, but different brands. This shirt is like ASOS design and I freaking love it. It's like a baby tee, but it has like this kind of high neck and like it's like, you know, meant to be tight and whatever. And it's nice because it's all smoothing too. Because I don't like to wear bras. So it's nice that it just like takes care of all that.
And wow, that's pants, pretty impressive.
Yeah. With these pants, it's like the perfect length. Like I'm in love. And then I have like four other outfits that I got that are amazing. You would love them. I got some like baggy jeans that have like cool patchwork and shit on them. And then some other like tank tops, another pair of like parachute pants. And I love it. I needed like a wardrobe refresh. I was just not feeling my clothes. So
it's so good. Also, it's so important to have like the perfect length shirts when you're buying low baggy type pants. But yeah. Okay. Wow. We're looking fly. Looking amazing. We got our green liquids at hand. I don't know what you're drinking. Matcha.
This is an iced matcha that I left in the fridge for it to ice.
I got a Power Greens juice with all the things in it.
Mm.
I just got lunch from a place like down the street because we have not gone food shopping because we had Sasha here this weekend. So our whole like food shopping on Saturday is like thrown
all
off.
Out the window.
We got to go. But we're like, our fridge is so empty right now.
I kind of have the same situation. So are we doing it unhinged? I feel like I'm feeling unhinged energy.
Yeah, I'm like on the couch. It's already happening.
I know.
Happening.
I'm like, should we just talk about like ask each other bizarre questions and just see what happens?
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely share what I was sharing this morning, what I voice noted you, because I feel like that's always a solid reminder for people.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So with this journey that I've been on, I feel like I'm really noticing the difference of like those moments where you just gotta like shake it off and like almost just fucking like get over it. And then the moments where you have to like sit with it and transmute something. Mm-hmm. And I'll let you guys in on like what I'm dealing with. I have been shadow banned on TikTok. And because our OM account was linked. Do we want to talk about this? Are you okay with me talking about this?
Yeah.
Because our OM account was linked to my account, they fucking shadow banned the OM podcast TikTok account too.
It sucks. So it's like you know immediately because your videos get a literally one view. Like you're like, what the like it's straight up like it's normal for content views on TikTok even to fluctuate. But like we have 21,000 followers on there. Like we typically get between like 800 to 1,000 views. Like fine. No, literally Nikki posted a video like yesterday or something. It had 37 views at the end of the day. And I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Wait, so let me give everyone more insight. I posted a video. I was recording a video the other day about my subconscious healing journey and talking about the effects of like me going down that path and how I started to feel from that journey. And I used the analogy, which in the moment, I literally knew that I should not have said this on TikTok. But I said, I started feeling high, like I was on drugs. And I'm not even kidding. Red After flag. That part of the video, I said into the video, into the mic of my phone, I probably shouldn't have said that because I'm going to get shadow banned.
Your intuition was right.
And I posted it. I posted the video because it was so freaking good without... I mean, I shouldn't have posted with that part, but the video itself was a good video.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is going to be resonating with so many people. Like, this is going to help so many people. And I posted it. And all of a sudden, I got a message like, your video is under review. And when I went to save it or like send a link with the video to my computer to see if it would like pop up there, I couldn't even send the link. And it was like, your video is under review. And I'm like, oh, shit. Like, I knew I shouldn't have freaking said that. So I delete the video and I'm like, let me just edit that part out and I'll repost it. So I edit the part out and I repost it. Still, your video is under review. I'm like, shit. Okay, maybe they know it's the same video.
Shit.
So then a few days go by and I'm like, let me just post another video. Post another video. And I'm struggling to reach my audience. But it's just kind of fucked up because then they associate my account with the OM account because I'm logged in on the same account, which I'm guessing is what happened. And now we're shadow banned on that account too.
Guilty so by association.
I want to talk about, I was going to talk about something else before, but now I'm like, I'm really noticing how this is triggering me. And it's such a beautiful, like the curriculum that's in front of me right now is, it's here for me. Like, I know this is happening for me and for my highest expansion because that is the reality that I subscribe to. That is the way I choose to see everything that is in front of me. And yeah, of course, there are some times where it's like, fucking A, like, if only I just didn't fucking post that.
I know.
But I do truly believe, I'm like, this is happening for a reason. And like, how fucking divine it's all happening when now I'm on this YouTube journey of like vlogging and stuff.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I'm just like really looking at it is like, okay, even like throughout today, I've noticed I've been in these waves of being triggered and like getting all in my head about this is going to like ruin my business and da 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 da. And I'm like, you know what? Be with that energy, like accept it and then use it as a mirror, like how I was sharing in the last episode or before about being triggered. Like, what is this poking at within me? Like, what is this fear that this is bringing up? Excuse me. So I'm just like using it as an opportunity to go deeper and to release energy. And yeah, I'm still in that like process right now. So I'm not like out on the other side of it yet, but I'm just like, damn, okay. Okay, here we go, universe. Put me in the ring. Put me in the ring.
Yeah, dude, it's rough. I mean, this is like, I mean, it's partly understandable. Like, this is literally our livelihood and like the work we do. And there's like an understandable frustration with these social platforms that also like gaslight you if you ask them about it. Cause you reached out to TikTok and they were like, we don't shadow ban. Like, it's probably just cause your content sucks. And it's like, no, bitch, you shadow ban. Like, you fully fucking shadow ban. All the platforms do it. Like, I don't understand why. Like, it's also like you, I'm sure you were, did you say that it was because you knew you said like high on drugs as an analogy?
So the girl that I reached out to that works at TikTok, I said that to her. But when I was reaching out to TikTok directly with their support team in like the application, I didn't mention it.
Yeah. I mean, either way, it's just like this. It's just like the frustrating nature sometimes of this shit. I mean, I know so many people who are severely shadow banned on Instagram to the point where like you can't tag them in stories and like it's really bad. And it sucks because it genuinely does affect their livelihood. At this point, this is actually the perspective that Elon Musk has about social platforms and why there shouldn't be censorship. And I totally agree with this. It's because at this point, it's a utility. It's like taking away someone's fucking phone line. Like,
yeah,
like every people are using it fully for businesses. And some people will be like, well, if your business relies on like social media, then it's not much of a business. It's like, that's not fucking true at all, dude. Like, this is the world. This is like today, the media that we have. If you took away someone's email or someone's access to using their website, like you'd be like, yeah, that's a fucking problem. Right. You know, like it's an understandable frustration. But at the same time, I definitely agree and support the idea of like, you know, it is kind of interesting that it's at the same time as you embarking on your YouTube journey. And also of the two of us with OM, just thinking about like all the ways that we want to implement a bit of strategy and like really make more clear initiatives on like Instagram for growth and connecting with the community, etc., that, you know, whatever, it's just like a nudge to go onto the other platforms and like follow what is working and where like the universe is supporting it working as well.
Right, right. And truly seeing it that way. I feel like for me, one of the most frustrating parts is, it's not like in my head I'm like, oh, I need to like grow my audience and like it's all about the numbers. I was so fucking tuned in and connected to my TikTok audience. Like we were seeing each other, we were connecting. I was like talking to people in the comments. Like we were on this right. wavelength of like talking about a specific topic and all about stepping into our power. And I felt like right. we were all on this journey together, and I was like really feeling so connected to my community. To the community that started around me posting these videos. And now I just feel like we all got separated. Like we're like yeah, in the dark yeah. trying to find each other. Like, where'd you go? Wait, where'd you go?
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe it will stop after a few days. The advice that they told me was just keep posting. The girl goes, don't get discouraged. I'm like, bitch. This is my
Do
fucking
you
life.
Understand the world we live in. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's definitely a lot of that energy around though of like we talked about this a little bit that on Threads it's like become everyone's just complaining about their content not getting any reach and like they're just like shitting on coaches and stuff. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Like everyone needs to stop complaining so much and just like lean in and do the shit that works. Like
right. Well, this is the shift out of the victim mentality. I mean, let's talk about that.
True.
If you victimize yourself to these social platforms, then you're going to continue to see that in your reality. So, like how you're just saying, lean into what works for you and what feels good. And I'm really like feeling into this whole authenticity thing of just like, as long as you can be you and show up, your audience and your people and the people that you resonate with and the people that resonate with you will find you.
Yeah, I agree.
But and you just need consistency.
You just have to have a wider perspective too on how that can all happen. Like, I always really love when I get kind of the proof of when I'm focusing less on, oh, is this video going to reach someone or is this going to work or whatever? And I'm just more in the moment or basically when I'm just in flow of life, that then you get the proof of like somebody found an old video and commented and was like, wow, or I just found you. Or like this has been happening with Om again, is I feel like we're getting a surge of people messaging us again and like the having more of that energy of excitement around things that we can never really contrive. Like we can't force it. So you just have to focus on the actual important things in front of you. And then you always get a really nice little surprise from the universe that it's like yeah. someone like sending you a message or like commenting on an old video or like signing up for your thing or like whatever that thing is, and just broadening like how you even think of that stuff. For me also, I feel like doing more stuff in real life really helps that too, of like just, I don't know, in social circles or literally out and about in town, just like going through life as that being the important parts too that move the needle forward and not just solely relying on the internet.
Right. Yeah. And also like remembering your mission and your why, because if you are grounded into the why of why you're doing that, like for example, posting videos now on TikTok, I'm like noticing it's like slower, but there's still people commenting like, wow, this really helped me. Or
yeah.
And I'm like, yes, this is my why. Like if literally, I know you don't like when people say this, but like if I help one person, because you're like, no, fuck, I want to help so many people. I also want to help a lot of people, but like I do feel like my mission is completed with
totally.
One post, if even one person like watched it and even didn't respond and it still resonated with them, because that's just like my why as to why I'm doing all this. And yeah, I think when you remember that, these moments of like dealing with an algorithm become a lot less like knock you off your feet type of vibe, because you're just remembering like it's never actually really about metrics or like the size of the community. It's like the strength of the community and like
yeah.
the impact that you're having on that audience.
Yeah, totally.
So yeah, being shadow banned, never say the word drug in a TikTok video.
Yeah, seriously. But it's like, the thing is, you should be able to talk about, I guess the context is like high on drugs is an understandable like red flag. Because if you were just talking about like drug awareness or something, like maybe it'd be different. But
yeah,
people,
I'm wondering how they sift through that. Like what's the...
I mean, they have AI that does all this stuff, which is why you'll like automatically get flagged for stuff that like they just, it doesn't always know the context, which is why like it does and it doesn't, because it like knew that you said drugs. So I don't know. It just has obviously like automated ways that it flags videos.
Damn.
Yeah.
Wait, I want to check. I posted on my story, like, does anyone have any questions? We'll address them in the pod. Mm. I mean, I literally just posted it, so I think we'd have to. Oh, not a question, but so thankful to have strong-minded women to look up to. Aww.
Oh, what a nice way to say that.
That is so fucking beautiful. I posted this like literally 10 minutes ago. So,
oh, nice.
We don't have any questions, but we got that response. That's so beautiful.
That's cute. I'm picturing like our brains with like muscles on it. Strong minded.
I mean, I was just going to go down the whole avenue of being a strong minded woman.
But yeah, what does that mean to you?
Well, I'm just reflecting on like the version of myself that I used to be and how much like fear I had. I still deal with fear and doubt, but I feel like it's from such a different perspective. I've just been reflecting lately on like how different I feel lately, and it does kind of, that title of like a strong-minded woman resonates with like the new energy that I'm tapping into.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, it kind of gives like resilience, and well, also like we ain't no fucking pushover bitches, you know? Like we have our own perspectives, and like we've shared plenty of times also as it relates to mainstream ideas and propaganda and all that stuff that is so closely tied to like a spiritual journey and awakening. So, you know, I think people know we're gonna fucking say it like it is, and that like, yeah, it's just, we also, I mean, we literally spend a lot of time thinking and like conceptualizing and like understanding things. So it's like a lot of mental flexing up in here.
Yeah, totally. What do you feel like are some ideas that you have that would be like controversial that you are like bumping up against a little resistance when it comes to expressing them, but like you're still open to expressing them?
Well, whenever I talk about health and wellness with people, I kind of give clues about my perspective on like germ theory and terrain theory, which is pretty out there, but not really when you really think about it.
Can but you share more?
I'm not like fully settled on it, but I just have really, I've gone down the rabbit hole of like, so germ theory versus terrain theory is basically when it comes to, for example, getting a cold, there's kind of like two theories. Germ theory is that you catch a germ, the germ makes you sick, you get symptoms. Like pretty straightforward. Terrain theory is a bit more nuanced. And honestly, I'm pretty sure if you really look at all the science, terrain theory is actually more correct, which is that it also has to do with the environment. So the typical image would be like showing a fish in a tank. And if the tank is really dirty and the fish is not sleeping and not taking care of itself, then it will be very prone to sickness. And even if a germ or microbe or whatever the fuck comes in contact with the fish, if it has a clean tank, a clean environment, a clean terrain, it will not get sick. That's like very watered down explanation of it. So when you go really down the rabbit hole of virology and these different studies on how viruses are isolated and how scientists figure out basically what is the cause, kind of like chicken or the egg, between why people get sick and why they show symptoms, it's not actually that clear. And the key study and research that a lot of modern virology is based on, apparently, and I say apparently because I read it myself, and I've also like listened to other people talk about it, and I don't know if the jury's out on it. I feel convinced by it, but basically, apparently, it's quite pseudoscientific the way that virology is based on this idea of isolating a virus on like a tissue cell, and the way that they then have a conclusion of like, okay, so the virus caused the tissue to break down, which essentially would be like illness, symptoms, etc. For most people, that's like pretty out there, but first of all, I don't, it's not like, in terms of my discomfort talking about it, if someone genuinely wanted to hear my perspective, I have no problem sharing it because A, if I'm wrong, like it's fine. B, I do feel quite strongly about it in that I'm well read on it. It like checks out with my intuition and my own experience. And also like, it's just an idea to me, like of how we could potentially operate. The thing is like, if my perspective on virology and like the challenging of modern virology were to be true, it would kind of change like the entire Western approach to wellness. Like the entire pandemic would effectively not have gone down the way it did if this is true, because then you can't necessarily say that like germs equal disease all the time. It would be a lot more nuanced than that. And it's just the thing that's scary is if I start to think about like entire institutions of people and doctors and like family members that I have that are like in medical systems, and they'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about? This is like the most basic thing that we know about sickness and getting colds and flus, is that viruses cause disease, etc. And I'd be like, fine, maybe that's true, but like, why, like, can we explore that and like question it a little bit? But it's definitely like a bit out there, and you can get some like questionable looks if you suggest that.
I mean, I agree with all of that. And I remember the first time hearing you say that, I don't think I did. But now that I'm going through this course with Sarah and Tim, we're learning a lot about like the energy field and the environment that you're describing. And yeah, I mean, it's exactly that. Like even think about epigenetics. That's what we talked about on the podcast episode with Kat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I'm remembering correctly, that's like the expression of a gene based on its environment, right?
Yeah.
So what is the environment? From my perspective, I believe your environment is like your energetic body.
Mm-hmm.
And like what makes up your energetic body, like the way that you take care of yourself and what you consume, but also like your emotional state and the way that you handle emotions and just like the frequency and the energy that you are emitting out into the field. So from my perspective, I'm like, yeah, this all checks.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what's the environment in your eyes? Like, what do they describe the environment as? I know Alec Zach, is that his name? Mm-hmm. He talks a lot about this. What does he reference the environment as?
So, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's like, it's quite holistic. Like it includes, you know, the more obvious things of, you know, diet, exercise, environmental toxins. Yeah, just like your house, mold, like all that type of stuff. And then it also goes beyond to the literal, like the environment that you create, which is energetic, mindset, physical movement, like trauma, etc. Because that's basically, if you are projecting a reality and living a reality out of what's inside, if you are in constant worry and anxiety and you have all this like repressed emotion, then that is the environment that you as a physical being and as an energetic being are living in, and that would cause disease. I mean, this is what Dr. Christian Gonzalez talks about in all the work of like emotional release and emotional repression. Same with Dr. Gabor Mate, is like, if you are putting immense amounts of stress on your body to hold in emotion, and that goes into the fascia, which then wraps literally every fucking organ in the body, if that is like under stress and out of alignment, that will cause physical symptoms. And that's the environment that you're living in, like the holistic of like, you know, your physical body, energetic, spiritual, all the things. And I just basically think, I think there is definitely probably a role of like germs and viruses and like this stuff that gets passed around. But I just think we give it way too much weight, and that it's so much more about how we are operating, and like from food to diet to mindset and energy and belief system, et cetera, and worry and anxiety. Like, we fucking know that those things affect us physically. So what is to say that someone who is living in constant anxiety wouldn't then also be getting sick all the time because their body is like, hello, I'm fucking ill. because you're thinking, you're like putting me in survival mode all the time. And my, I'm trying to like get things out literally like physically through symptoms, and also to call your attention to be like, hello, please take care of me.
I mean, it makes sense. Like a lot of sense. I feel like every topic that's considered controversial when we talk about like it from a more spiritual lens is literally just us looking beyond the 3D and the physical,
yeah,
and looking right at the other factors that go into impact whatever it is we're discussing, whether it be health, the way that we can attract things into our life, and any other like topic that we dive into from like that more spiritual lens,
right?
And it just like makes sense that this information is going to become more mainstream as we become more conscious and more aware. But like, it's wild. This connects to Joe Dispenza's work. I was rereading Becoming Supernatural, and the beginning of the book describes, it's pretty much like a case study of a woman who lost her husband, and then she went on to fall into a really deep state of depression, and then she got cancer, and then she was dealing with all these other diseases and illnesses, and she stopped working. I mean, she literally became like just like a non-existent version of herself with all the sickness that she was dealing with, and she found Joe Dispenza's work, and instead of like being in that struggling, slowly dying mentality, she did the inner work and changed her environment by cultivating a higher energetic emotional body and energetic body. And she started doing Joe Dispenza's work. She started going to his retreats, doing his meditations, and now she's like freaking thriving. The cancer went away. The illness that she was dealing with went away. I can't remember the name of the illness that she had, but she had all these like sores and cuts, like like in her vaginal area. I know, I was like, do we need to know this right now? But there's like a lot of details in the book. But yeah, just wild that the first like I think 40 pages of the book is hearing that story. And she literally did it all by changing her environment, her energetic environment. It was crazy.
I mean, dude, I think what happens is there's kind of the dynamic of if you're a hammer, everything is a nail. And that works both ways, in that if you believe that you are a victim to your environment and to tiny things floating around that we can't see, and if you're a victim and you have no power to your son coming home from preschool and bringing quote unquote germs into the house, and you're buying into that, and then if you want to look it up and get a study that tells you, oh, this particle was present in the cell that broke down, that means the particle made the cell break down. Great, you're gonna fucking prove to yourself that that's supposedly what's happening. But you can go further to there's like different studies out there that like, this is like the scientific method, right? It's like you're trying to create causation or correlation. And the analogy that Alex Zek will use is that if there's a forest fire and there's always firefighters at the forest fire because they're trying to put it out, one person could say, oh, every time there's a fire, there's firefighters. The firefighters cause the fire. They have to be, right? Because they're always there when there's a fire. That's like, we know that that's not what's happening. It's that firefighters show up to the scene once the fire is there to cure it, to help it. So it's like you start to go down that line of questioning and you're like, okay, maybe certain types of particles and atoms, whatever the fuck, like the scientific term is, I'm aware that I'm like doing broad strokes here. What if those things are there, not because they caused it, but because they maybe are already in the environment, or they show up in the environment as part of the healing, or they're just there no matter what. And then sometimes like the cell breaks down because of another factor. Like those are the types of questions that people start to ask. And aside from all that, I think with the Joe Dispenza work is like, there's just fucking countless examples and evidence and stories of people who are able to heal themselves through belief. And what we know from observation effect and what we're starting to find out in the impact of like thought on the body is like, yeah, if you have a certain intention and you think about a physical, your physical self in a certain way, you can literally change the way that your cells are expressed, or whatever that like specific dynamic is that's changing the way that the physical particles of who you are express themselves.
You do this when you're sick, right?
Do what? Oh, think. Yeah. 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 When I'm sick, I basically spend time doing like self energy healing and sending whatever symptom or whatever place is like hurting. And I just send it love and light. And I visualize like, I'll visualize almost like as if the cosmos was this like sparkly, sprinkly moving thing. And I visualize pushing it through me, like pulling it through me and cleansing whatever is happening in me. And I don't get sick that often anymore. Like I think because of just the environment that I live in, the holistic one, I'm probably expressing myself in a healthier way physically. And also I do think when you do things energetically, instead of just taking fucking Tylenol and NyQuil and all this stuff that ultimately is overriding the body's natural healing process, you don't get sick as often because from an immune system perspective, your immune system is strengthening to be able to heal itself. And I think it just changes the energetic makeup of your body, which effectively is how you would prevent disease.
How do you think you'll raise kids with this knowledge when it comes to like hygiene?
Yeah, I mean, Milan has a similar dessert. I mean, for sure. There's also a lot of like studies on like if kids don't spend time outside, they have like way more allergies, they get sick more often. And like this is actually a really common thing, is a lot of people are very like nervous to take their like newborns and little kids out into like public places because of the fear of germs. But I mean, what I know from how I was raised, from how Milan was raised, which was similar, that it was like be out in the environment and to also always have an approach of natural remedies first. So like don't just jump to the fever reducing like pill Tylenol thing. Don't just like band-aid it. And I mean, in terms of raising kids, I don't know. I think for sure a big part of it is going to, a big part of it is going to be like encouraging outdoor time and being in nature and being exposed to like lots of different like environments. I mean, I think like traveling is really key, just so you're literally always like going to different places. And then probably just like teaching them the idea of like healing themselves and like doing it both through food and diet, and like bless like the tea that you're drinking and ask it to heal you. And then also Milan will probably just like toss them into the fucking dirt in the outside and be like fucking run around and get dirty. And then, you know, if they're not feeling well, it's going to be like putting fucking potatoes in their socks to like draw the toxins out and like giving them broth and shit. Yeah, that's something that Milan's mom did for him and his sister growing up, as if they were not feeling well, you would put potatoes in the socks when you go to bed and it draws out toxins through your feet.
Whoa.
Yeah. So yeah, I think it's just holistic. And then obviously like, you know, emergencies happen, things happen, and you probably like consult a doctor and get a fucking opinion or whatever. But I think there's so much fear and conditioning around kids and germs and dirt and don't touch that and this and that. And it's like most of it, I think, is actually fine within reason. Again, you're using intuition. You're not like fucking letting your kid touch fucking poop. Like, you know, like there's things that we're like, okay, that's probably not ideal. But I do think a lot of people are at an extreme where they completely avoid germs, and that makes their kids more sick because they never get exposed to the things that they naturally should.
There's also something really powerful about teaching your child their self-healing abilities. Because think about the power in belief itself. When you are thinking in your mind, I can heal myself with this sickness that I have, whether you have like a cold or maybe you're dealing with something more more serious.
Yeah.
It's the level of belief that we have to self-heal that is the deciding factor if it will happen. So yeah. Even us consciously sitting here saying like, oh, I'm going to I can self-heal if I have this and this. Our subconscious may have so much conditioning and programming that we would have to work with that process. Right. And it really is about remembering that you can co-create your reality. And it's just interesting because I don't even know, like, if I were to get sick in a more serious way than just a cold, like, I would want to use that as almost an experiment of, like, okay, let's lean into this and see if I can really self-heal. But then there's a part of me that's like, I don't fucking know. Maybe I'd be like in such a state of panic and fear that I would just be like, give me any Western medicine that you are telling me will work. But
yeah, which of course there's like a total time and place for that, where it's like, not to shame anyone who, like, sometimes you're in a lot of fucking pain and it's really difficult. And the only thing to even let you access a more empowered perspective of healing is to at least alleviate some of the pain that you're in. Like, that's totally like fine, right? But I guess what's interesting is just like, I feel like so much of what Western medicine is based on is actually, and this is where you can argue there's like a true corrupt agenda behind it, that I honestly think a lot of these institutions don't want you to be healthy because they make money off of you being sick. And so it's like, duh, why would you, you would never reveal to people that like diet and exercise and mindset and energy is like healing, because then they heal and then you don't get money off of them because they stop needing your fucking prescriptions and shit.
It's just so funny to think about, like other species that are living in different, on different planets or different galaxies, like they know this information about the trinity of the mind, body, and the soul. Our last call on Sunday with the program that I'm in was all about this connection of like mind, body, soul, and taking care of the body, and how when you're on this journey of ascension, you have to do it with your body and treat your body like it's its own entity, because there's a lot of spiritual teachings out there that will disconnect you from your body and tell you have to ascend from it. But you have to view it as like you're ascending with it. And the body wants to be treated as its own being. It literally is its own being. So how can we like talk to it with love and also see the power that it holds to facilitate self-healing or something? And it's just really powerful to see it as something that has its own consciousness. Even on the call, we were just reflecting on how we say it with the body and reference it as an it when it's a being. It's a living being, and that has been really helpful for me on my own like health journey over the past few weeks. I think moving out of a big city and not being just distracted all the time and having quick hits of whatever food you can imagine right in front of you, living in Venice Beach, like you walk outside and it's just like coffee shop and Great White with their incredible breakfast burritos and the pizza. Dude,
those
and all the
burritos
things
are so good,
so good. And like there's like the croissant place with the freaking chocolate croissants and Egg Slut with the good egg sandwiches. It was just like all right in front of me right when I stepped outside of my house. And now being in a small town, not really having that much accessible like food like that, I've been on this journey of just like really noticing like, what do I want to eat? What do I want to put in my body? And that coupled with this whole journey of like being more conscious, being more aware, being more tuned into like a connection with myself, I'm starting to really feel into like, what does my body want right now? And instead of going up to a counter and ordering food of like, oh, I'm just going to eat whatever looks yummy, it's like asking the question of what will make my body feel so, excuse me, as I'm burping on my green juice. Like, what will make my body
the good juicy burps?
There's freaking bell pepper in this juice. And I'm like, this is such a weird sensation to be drinking the taste of bell pepper. But tastes good.
Interesting.
But yeah, I've just been like on this journey of connecting more with that trinity of like mind, body, spirit.
Mind, body, soul.
And I think that's another aspect of like what you're talking about, of having this more elevated state of awareness when it comes to our health. It's to know like the body is really freaking powerful, and if we treat it as so, it will treat us the same way. And yeah, health, I feel like, is a really, really important part of the path. And I just feel like living in this new physical environment, living in this town outside of a city, I've finally had the stillness and just like the peace to be able to recognize the tendencies that we have to not listen to the body's needs.
Yeah. 100%. Okay, it's your turn, flipping the question on you, although I think I might know what your answer is. What, I forget what you asked me exactly, but what's like a perspective or opinion or something that you get like nervous about sharing or something like that? Aliens?
Oh, aliens for sure. I mean, it's not like I feel like I'll get backlash. It's just like getting the side eye and being judged.
Yeah. And there's like, I feel like it's those perspectives that your own inner critic like starts to get loud and is like,
yeah, like, yeah, shut up. You look like a fool.
Stay safe. Don't share your opinions.
But I love talking about that and I love learning about it. That's why I'm so grateful that I found Tim Tactics and his work, because hearing about our personal evolution from the lens of what ETs and these species that live outside of this 3D dimension are suggesting that we do to ascend as a species, because just being a part of this program where I'm learning about this, like, Earth is kind of like the show right now, like of the cosmos. Like, people are looking down being like, what is gonna happen there? Shit. And all these other species are far beyond and more evolutionary, they're more advanced with their evolution. And I've said this in other episodes, but humans have like a really, really freaking high potential for evolution. And that's why there's all these, the powers that be wanting us to stay locked into states of fear and sickness, because then that prevents us from evolving as a species. So
they talk about that in the three body problem. Side note, in the three body problem.
Yeah. What do they reference?
Well, basically, it's kind of a wild story, and I want you to continue, but basically, in the three-body problem, there's, like, this, this, like, ET, like, fucking confederation, like, group is coming to Earth to be saved, but they're not going to be here for 400 years, and the people, the, like, beings tell the Earthlings how, like, humans are going to technologically surpass that, like, them basically by the time they get there, and that humans have been evolving so much faster than other beings. And it was like trippy, basically saying how, like, because of time relativity and all of that, like, technically the aliens had, like, they have more advanced tech at that present moment. But it basically speaks to how they're saying how, like, humans have so much, are evolving so freaking quickly. Like, the way that you guys went from industrial evolution to whatever was after that, to where you are now, to the first computer, to AI, like, you're doing that insanely quickly and you have, like, so much potential to evolve. But I think they also speak to, like, your potential to also fucking destroy yourself.
Yeah, I think the duality exists there, and we're seeing that play out in our reality now. You and I have talked a lot about that, like, timeline split of people going deeper into fear versus the people who are leaning more into love and releasing the fear-based programming and the conditioning and all the societal programming that we have been a part of. But yeah, I've just really been seeing this whole experience from a even wider perspective of thinking about these other species that exist. And I've had this whole journey of, like, connecting to aliens. And I don't know if I'm just going fucking crazy, but I'll sit in meditation and there's this one visual of an alien, this little blue guy. And even if it just is in my imagination, this little guy has been such a big help for me on my journey. Like, I'm even getting uncomfortable talking about it. I'm like, why am I laughing? Just say it fucking seriously. So yeah, I mean, I don't know where to even, like, what angle to talk about this from, because there's just so many different angles I could talk about it from. But I think we truly are all here to evolve and to, I shouldn't say escape, but to evolve out of the fear-based thinking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I like to, and I know we've done episodes of thinking about, like, don't victimize yourself. Don't think of it as, like, the powers that be are out to get you and you're a victim. Yes, but also, like, know that fear and all this crazy shit that is pushed on us with the conditioning and, like, the pharmaceutical industry and, like, the way that we are taught in schools and all these, like, political agendas that divide us. Like, yes, you are not a victim, but also know that that is very much a thing. And yeah, to be aware of it. But yeah, then to use that information to step into your role as remembering, oh, like, you don't want to perceive all of that as like, oh, we're doomed. And this is, yeah, this is like the end of the world and we're doomed because these powers are so powerful. These entities and powers that are enforcing the fear-based programming and all these different things that I just listed out, they're using the awareness of how powerful we are all as humans, and they're using certain angles to take advantage of the powers that we all have to create our own reality. So conditioning with certain TV programs and movies, mm-hmm, and they're using the powers that we have to amplify their mission. Does that make sense?
You're saying people who have this controlling negative agenda, like, employ specific tactics to condition us.
Yes, but yeah, it's very easy to hear that and get scared and think that we're these victims.
Yeah.
But when you remember your power to, like, co-create with the Matrix and,
yes,
to put out love and to dissolve fear within your own conditioning and to spread that outward, that love and that energy, that is so powerful. And what we, yeah, focus on expands.
Totally. So I think it's like opting out. Like, you can, like, you can, if this is like another thing that Alex Eck would say is, like, if enough people remember their power, remember that they were free by virtue of existing, and literally just opted out, like you do at the fucking TSA line, and you're like, I'd like to opt out instead of going through your cancer scanner. Like, literally take a different route. And also ignore the fact that they can't tell you what to, they remember that they can't tell you what to do. If enough people did that, like, that's why it wouldn't work. It would collapse because it needs us feeding it in order to work. Like, if there's no one to listen to the tree falling in the forest, is the tree even fucking exist? I don't know. It lives in its own fucking silo, I guess. So it's, right, like, the opting out is the power of it. And that's like the reclamation of your power and your freedom.
Yeah. Even on our last call, Sarah was talking about how some people are really disagreeing with this whole AI movement, and they're like fueling into this like negative narrative around AI, and they don't realize what they're doing is actually like supporting the growth of AI, impacting us in a negative way. And we just had this whole discussion and talk about the beauty of AI and how it can actually support our evolution and how we need to, like, fuel that narrative. And, just to be cautious about, like, any sort of narrative that locks you into a state of fear, because it's not beneficial for yourself or the greater expansion of the, like, collective movement that we're making to shift and evolve. And I think that's really, really powerful to know that you can choose which reality you want to tune into and which reality you want to create.
Yeah.
I don't know like which direction I was going to take this in, but yeah, I think that is definitely a controversial topic to talk about. And in regards to like the aliens, we're learning about how there's 5% that are bad and the rest are really good and wanting to help us.
Oh,
and
interesting.
And the 5% are the ones that have this like whole system down on Earth with locking us into fear and keeping us sick and
shit.
So don't know, it really empowers me because it also grounds me the F into the mission that we have with the podcast, the missions that we both have with our individual businesses, and just like why we feel so motivated to do what we do. Like, yeah. When I tell you, if you would have told me I'd be doing this when I was in college, just like partying my ass off and not even giving a shit about anyone. I mean, I cared about people, but I really didn't care about like the collective and making an impact.
Yeah.
But if you would have told me I would be doing this, I'd be like, what the heck are you talking about? But because we have these like desires planted in our heart that are for a higher mission, you follow those little nudges, and the next thing you know, you're just like serving the collective in a way where you, I'm like, did I sign up for this?
I know. Sometimes it does feel like unconscious in a way, like you're not always really thinking about it, but in retrospect, you kind of see that you're like guided and that you have this higher purpose that's moving you. It's kind of like this whole conversation is actually making me think a lot about Law of One and the two. You can either be, what do they call it? It's like, I think it's literally negative polarity or positive polarity, and it's like service to self or service to others. But to be in service to others, you only have to be like 51% service to others and 49% service to self, meaning like, because ultimately both, because we're all one, service to self is still ultimately service to all, because we're all connected. But obviously, like, service to self tends to play out more in like manipulation. Like, Genghis Khan successfully ascended on the negative polarity, which is why he was able to like have so much destructive power over Earth, like crazy levels, because he was so fully committed to being, I think, like 99% service to self that he like ascended fully on that negative polarity path. But in order to ascend on the positive polarity path, like, you only, I think apparently, I need to double check this. I'm pretty sure this is correct though.
No, I think you're right. I remember hearing this.
Yeah, you only need like the slight percentage more. And that also has such a positive impact that it kind of like, you will keep ascending on the positive polarity path just by being a little bit more oriented towards service to others, because you're going to be thinking about like how you impact others in a way that serves them, versus only service to self would be like ultimately destructive because you're viewing yourself as separate. But the whole point is like, in the grand scheme of things, it's all part of the oneness that we exist in. So you don't like necessarily judge the service to self because it's still somehow in service to the collective.
Yeah. I mean, well, think about someone doing something negative to you that somehow helps your evolution. So right. It's like there's a role in that negativity for the oneness.
Yeah. And the other really interesting thing I learned from Law of One is that apparently, so Nikola Tesla was ascending on the positive polarity path, and he was creating such an incredible positive ripple effect that Law of One says how like other forces came in and stopped him and like got in his way because he was becoming so positively powerful.
Whoa.
And there's like documents of Nikola Tesla communicating with ETs and like getting access to like channeling, basically, I guess, advanced tech information and like speaking to ETs. And he was like incredibly positively polarized. But the story goes that like he didn't have the impact. I mean, now we are impacted by his work a lot, but it was like supposedly thwarted by like people who didn't want him to, you know, free humans by giving them fucking power, literally like light and power. Like if you give people light, you completely free them. Think about that. Like the definition of being a fucking light worker, Nikola Tesla.
Whoa.
Isn't that crazy?
Does he have any books? Is that a stupid question?
I don't know if he ever published like a self-authored book. I mean, there's books, a lot of books about him. I don't think that he wrote. Oh, I think there's like copies of his, what is this? My Inventions, the Autobiography of Nikola Tesla. This might be like a collection of his stuff.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, there are like really great books on him. And Nikola Tesla, I don't know if this is true, but I'm pretty sure he potentially like invented the 369 method.
Yeah.
I think it mentions that in that book, in the 369 journal, right?
Yeah, the manifestation method. I mean, he was for sure very, very tapped in. And
as he's incredible.
Listening to you talk about this and just like the theories that we have and like the ways of thinking that are so beyond the normal conditioning of society, I'm like thinking about what if someone listened to this podcast episode 100 years from now and they're like, oh my god, so cute. Like, I feel like I've said this before, but like, listen to them, they're getting it, they're understanding.
Like, I know. No. Well, honestly, it'd be cool. It'd be like, I mean, okay, we're not saying this to be like fucking puffing ourselves up, but there are people that we look back at, like we read back to their work, like fucking Carl Jung. We're like, that motherfucker was ahead of his time. Like, he was tapped in. Like, he knew what was up. So like, it could be the same thing that like in the future, because we're just following our heart and our soul and we're speaking whatever truth is coming through us, that like it will resonate beyond our time. And especially if we're tapped into the unseen, that is what extends beyond space and time. So yeah, somebody's going to find this and be like, damn, those out of our minds, girls, what happened?
But a part of that path is like Nikola Tesla, he had to be considered fucking crazy.
Oh yeah.
By the people around him. And you have to accept the fact that your words will most likely not resonate with like the people that are close to you and all the things. And like, you have to be okay with that. And to know that the people that do resonate are going to really freaking resonate with you.
Yeah.
Speaking your truth is so scary, but so liberating at the same time.
100%. It's so fucking liberating. It literally, I think, would like solve a lot of diseases. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, think about just from an energetic standpoint of like what it feels like to speak your truth and to liberate yourself with your authenticity.
Right.
If you're listening to this now, definitely tune into our episode before this one about authenticity.
Yes, 100%.
Definitely very liberating to just speak your truth and know that one day people will look back and be like, she fucking got it. She fucking knew.
True. People will see it now, though. I think people are so much more primed now for receiving truth than they were in the past.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I guess also could be like, the polarity is even stronger now, but I do think there's so much more receptivity in some ways.
If you totally
create it, I guess.
Alrighty, shall we close out this episode? We're hitting an hour mark.
Yeah.
That was a goodie. A good improv. I
like yeah.
Intuitive, I should say.
Yeah. Intuitive improv.
All right, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to episode 43 of the pod. Definitely give that authenticity episode a listen if you haven't tuned in yet. It's really freaking good. I mean, all the episodes are really freaking good. But hit that subscribe button if you have yet to subscribe. We're about to hit 1K subscribers. Maybe we will already hit it by the time this comes out. Oh, on YouTube, yeah.
Yeah.
And if you're on Spotify, respond to our little prompts, answer the questions, and feel free to DM us. We love to connect with you guys, and we love to hear how these episodes are resonating with you. Just to give you a little reminder, we have a community membership called the Omi's Oasis that is only $25 a month, and you get so much magic out of this membership. You're a part of a Slack community of beautiful souls and individuals that are literally walking side by side with you on this path and are pretty much going through the exact same experiences that you're going through. So mm-hmm. you have a community where you can talk to them, get to know them. And then we meet once a month for workshops where we bring on coaches, healers, entrepreneurs, any sort of expert in any expertise. And they bring us through a workshop that's super interactive. We talk to each other. We get to know each other. We share the depths of our journey and what we're going through. It's really freaking beautiful. So if you're interested in joining, we'll put the link below. Guys, $25 a month. What you get out of this, I'm like mind blown.
It's so good.
It's so good.
And depending on when you listen to this, there'll be in the on-demand library, there's already three amazing workshops. We have had Family Constellation Therapy, Kat Dow, who led us through an incredible sort of like hypnosis, subconscious, connecting to your ancestors meditation. That was fucking unreal.
That was wild.
Had Jenny Addition, who's an intuitive and a channel, who helped us to really connect to our vision for our life. And we did this like cool movement meditation. And then Sarah Zula, which is happening soon and will be in the on-demand library afterwards, who's going to do basically all things subconscious healing and hot seat fucking coaching, which is going to be sick.
Yeah, I'm so excited for that.
Join us. It's super fun. Great space. And we'd love to have you.
Yes. Incredible. All right, guys. We love you. And we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to our crazy theories.
Bye. Don't cancel us.